Welcome to a special interview on America on the Road on Driving Today. I'm Jack Nerad. We're going to be talking with Mike Evanoff of Hyundai. He is a product planner on the all-new 2020 Hyundai Sonata midsize sedan, very important vehicle for Hyundai. So let's go to that interview with Mike right now. Well, here we are in Montgomery, Alabama. We're at the opening and unveiling of the 2020 Hyundai Sonata. Mm-hmm. With me is Mike Evanoff. Thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Tell us all about this car. It's all new for 2020, a sedan in a market that is now kind of being dominated by crossover vehicles. Tell us why people should care about a new sedan.
Well, I think at Hyundai especially, we're still very positive on the sedan market. We've seen the shift in the trend, obviously. But if you look at the segmentation, midsize sedan is still the fifth largest, about 1.5 million vehicles in total. The top three in the segment category are close to 750 or 800,000 units last month. So it's not an insignificant market. And so I think we've done sedans really well in the past, and we continue to do so. So I think it was very important for our company to make a new entrant and not just kind of mail it in and say, oh, here's a midsize sedan. They put a lot of work into this car, from the styling to the technology to the ride and handling to two new powertrains. It's a completely new car, and we're really excited to bring it to market.
Yeah, I mean, people think that sedans are going away, but when you're selling, you know, 1.4 million sedans in a year in the United States and of midsize alone, mm-hmm. and then you're selling another 400,000, 500,000 in other categories of sedan, yeah. Certainly there's a lot of volume there, and I think a lot of room for Hyundai to grow in that segment that's frankly, it has been dominated by Toyota Camry and right. Honda Accord. Nissan Altima is in there. Why do you think somebody should consider the new Sonata when they're thinking about that mix?
Yeah, well, I think styling it definitely is one thing. As we saw today, we had the designer here. We really worked hard. A lot of times, the designers and the engineers, they're at odds. So the designer wants one thing. He wants a lower roof. He wants a faster rake to the roof. He wants a lower hood. But the engineers, you know, can't deliver that on the platform necessarily because they have what's called hard points within the vehicle that you have to work around. But not only is this an all-new design, it's an all-new platform. So the engineers and the designers really work together to maximize both the interior package and the exterior styling, and you can see that from the profile, from the way the hood drops, you know, dramatically into the front, the signature lighting elements, all the LED and the LED DRLs that are integrated into the hood. I think it's a striking looking sedan, and you look at it compared to some of the other big heavy hitters, and there's a lot, I mean, those are out there, and they've got a lot of loyalists, but I think the design and technology will definitely put us on the consideration list.
You went to longer wheelbase, shorter mm-hmm. front overhang, mm-hmm. You know, that is just a sportier look to begin with. Talk a yeah. bit about why that's important.
Well, yeah, it's all about proportions, and we made the car about an inch, 1.2 inches lower, 1.8 inches longer, and 1 inch wider. So anytime you make a car lower, longer, wider, the stance and the proportions, you know, makes it look that much more dramatic just standing still and not following, like I said, talked about the hard points that you have to follow. We really worked hard to make this all work together and bring it to market to make a huge impact.
Yeah. I think one of the most striking things about the car when you first see it is the front end. Yeah. It really has a dramatic front end. Describe yeah. that, would you?
Yeah, well, I think it starts with those LED DRLs that are not only beneath the daytime running lights,
yes.
not only beneath the headlights, but, you know, Sonata's always had a characteristic chrome daylight opening. It surrounds the passenger windows, and now it you know, drops down all the way to the headlight, and that daytime running light not only is below the headlight, but now comes about a third of the way up the hood. And, you know, we talked about it looks chrome during the day, but when it's actually on, when the daytime running lights are on or the headlights are on, that whole third of that chrome strip illuminates, and they worked really hard to, you know, use laser etching of holes to control how that light comes through, so it actually gradually just fades away on the hood and makes a real dramatic appearance.
It really seems like lighting statements are important on sedans these yeah. days. We saw that in luxury cars first, but we're certainly seeing it now in popular priced cars like the Hyundai Sonata.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, we made the LED headlights and those LED daytime running lights standard on all Sonatas, because we want, you know, I refer to it as lighting signature, and I think that's very dramatic, especially in the rear as well, with the full width of the trunk, and it comes up the side.
Because that almost an exaggerated U shape around the trunk, right?
Yeah, and you know, I think when other people see the car, at night or even during the day with the front lighting, it makes a statement. You know, what is that car? They want to know more about it because it really stands out. So I think that helps, you know, with awareness and people seeing Sonata. That with the proportions is a good proposition.
Well,
to have.
One thing I learned from talking with Kevin Kang.
Kang, yeah.
The designer, is the rear view is very important. He called it the 405 view. He's talking about the California 405 because
you see the back of a car all the time.
Yeah, me too.
And that's what you, because you can't necessarily see it in the front, maybe in your rear view mirror or something, but that's what you see is the rear view of that car, and that's what makes the statement. That's why we worked on that light signature, not only for the front, but for the rear as well.
Right. Let's talk about interior, and Kevin is the interior designer of the thing. Describe the interior for us, what you were trying to accomplish with the interior.
Yeah, spacious is definitely one thing, because that's important in midsize sedan, but not just spacious, but open. And Kevin, you know, really worked with the team and the engineers to push the dashboard down. So you get that open feeling, and that requires a lot of work because there's a lot of stuff behind that dashboard. And so I think he said the air conditioning vents, you know, the air vents are 35 millimeters high. And
they're about an inch high is what it seems like, right?
And he said they're probably the thinnest air vents in the industry, but at the same time, you can't just make them thin. You got to make sure you get the same rate of flow, no whistling, no sound. So everybody worked together to do that. So that's what helps push, you know, what we call the crash pad, but that's the top of the dash. All that comes down, so you don't get into a car that you feel like you're sitting, I don't know if I say in, but this massive dashboard in front of you, but this light, airy feeling makes it a place you want to be. And then the screens and everything else that contribute to it.
I think the lower hood, it seems like it's lower anyway, lower cowl gives you a feeling of more openness, more visibility, just roominess, because you're kind of bringing in the outside inside.
Yep, that was definitely the goal. And then, you know, the use of material, the interior material qualities, and, you know, the cars we drove today had that leatherette wrap. Wrapped, you know, upper dashboard. Even on the armrest, Kevin made a big deal about the armrest in the door. You usually wouldn't think that's a big deal, but they worked with the engineers to make this huge pocket between the armrest and the actual door itself. So not only, we call it more of a door pull in the industry, but not only can you grab the door to close it or open it anywhere within there, there's enough space, even in the back seat. I had two phones, you know, in that pocket area on the armrest. So I think it's just attention to detail and thought for the consumer.
Yeah, really sweating the details. And another detail that's really obvious is the infotainment system and the display screen.
Yep.
You know, very luxury-like.
Right. So we've got two on the lower spec cars. It's an 8-inch display audio, which is still fairly large.
Yeah,
it's fairly large, and that's what you get standard. And it's got Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, which are becoming more and more basically essential must-haves today as people get used to it. We've got Sirius XM, we've got HD radio, we've got our telematics, and then you also move up to our navigation system, which is 10.25 inches, and it's actually very wide. So you can have more information on the screen. You can make the screen the whole map, or you can put the map on one quadrant, what you're listening to on the radio in another quadrant, and then the third quadrant, you know, you can set it up almost however you want. So you can have more information on that home screen, or just show all the detail on the wide screen.
Mm. And right in front of the driver, kind of very traditional instrumentation, but electronically delivered.
That's a 12.3-inch LCD display. You know, when you change the different drive modes, you get a little different feeling. You know, sport is red, smart is a little greener, normal is, you know, normal. But you can show a lot of information. We've got the speedo and the tach, but then, you know, the actual MPH is in the middle of the speedo. You don't have to scroll through all these menus to get some of the information you want. We can put more information on there, and that also allows us to show what we have, that surround or blind spot monitor or view monitor, which is actual cameras on the outside of the car, and when you activate the turn signal, right on that center display in front of you, you'll see a video image of what's in your blind spot.
Right. Head-up display, too, and for the first time in Sonata, I think.
Yeah, first time in Sonata. That's an 8-inch display. It's not a pop-up. It's actually integrated into the glass. And I like the fact that it shows you a lot of information in color. Your blind spot warnings are there as well. Your other, advanced safety technology warnings are there. If you've got navigation working, you'll get your turn-by-turn through there. You also get the traditional, you know, speed and some other information. But I think it's a lot of information. It's easy to view. You know, it's adjustable for brightness, for height, so you can get it to your comfort level. I think it just adds another element of premiumness to the Sonata.
Yeah. Let's talk about parking. Some of the wow features really involve parking and actually involve the car driving without you being in it.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Yeah. So remote smart parking assist, we were able to demonstrate that today. It's based on your key fob. So you actually have a little indicator forward and aft, and you can pull the car. It has to be activated first within the car, but then you can get out and you hold the button on the key fob and the car will slowly start to creep forward with nobody in the car. The minute you let go of that button on the key fob, it stops immediately. So you can bring it forward, you can bring it back. Really good, I think, for tight parking spaces, obviously. I've heard people talk about, you know, sometimes trying to get a child in a child seat in a tight parking spot can be difficult, so this can aid in that. In Southern California, you know, our garages are getting smaller and smaller and we're acquiring more stuff, and so storage is always an issue. So you got the, you know, the cars parked in, and I see so many people can only get one car in their garage because of all the stuff, but maybe with this you can cinch it up to that, you know, not worry about having to get in. You can just stand in your driveway and pull it out remotely.
Yeah, makes yep. a heck of a lot of sense. And as you say, the vehicle stops immediately. I mean, certainly there's some safety questions around
sure.
that.
Sure, yeah.
It doesn't, and be clear about the fact that it doesn't steer the car necessarily. It's
bit. Right. It doesn't like parallel park. We do have a Nexo product, which is our fuel cell. We'll actually parallel park as well. But this is like if you pull in and you've got the wheel turned just slightly, you know, so if you were to back it out, you'd be going at a radius. So it'll turn the wheel straight and then, you know, pull the car out or pull the car forward, whatever it needs to do. So there is a little bit of steering input built into the system.
Mm-hmm. And mostly to get it straight.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
it steers so it'll go straight. Let's talk about powertrain. It's kind of interesting. We're kind of we're almost 11 minutes into this interview and we haven't talked about powertrain,
right.
Which I think is indicative of the way the industry is going. But yeah. let's talk about powertrain.
Sure. So two new powertrains, also a new transmission. The first powertrain in the two lower spec cars is a 2.5 liter. So that's a little bit larger than the outgoing engine in Sonata, which was a 2.4. But actually gets better fuel economy. So a 14% fuel economy increase on that engine, also more torque, a little bit more horsepower, so we're able to deliver, you know, more of that, but also better fuel economy, which I think is still important. That's one of the advantages traditionally, not as much as it used to be, but sedan will always get better fuel economy than right. a CUV just from the aerodynamics, the weight, and everything else. So delivering on the fuel economy. Then you move up to our 1.6 liter turbo. It's also been redesigned for the 2020 Sonata. It features, you know, a lot of more torque. It's got a little bit less horsepower, but I still like to talk about the torque comes in at a very low part of the rev range.
Well, so and that's an interesting thing, right? I mean, yeah. It's the premium engine. It's the higher ranking engine,
right,
essentially,
right, yeah.
And yet it's lower horsepower and much lower displacement. It is, of course, a turbo
but a turbocharger, right. Yeah. And I think that's more of the trend in the industry, these smaller displacements with turbochargers. And I just think the drivability delivers a little bit more fun to drive just because of that, the aspect of that torque.
And yeah, talk about the flat torque curve. And a lot of people probably not grasping even what torque is about. Explain
right.
that if you could.
So yeah, horsepower is, you know, like peak power, what the engine makes. That's what most people look at in the specs. Torque is actually what you feel. That's like the twisting motion that is produced by the engine. So if you can have, and the torque on the 1.6 is greater than the 2.5, but where that torque on the 2.5 comes in at, I think, at like 4,200 or 4,800 RPM, the max torque on this 1.6 turbo comes in at a really low 1,500 RPMs and stays at max all the way to 4,000 or 4,500. So the minute you start, you know, accelerating,
you
feel that pull right away. Even though you might see a difference in horsepower, you'll definitely feel a difference just the way that power is delivered
right.
to the driven wheels. And they all go through a new SmartStream 8-speed automatic transmission that provides, you know, even better fuel economy because more gears and more flexibility yeah. in the gearing.
Well, it seems like the base engine has startlingly better fuel economy than the previous engine, right?
Yeah, so that was the 14% increase. We went from 29 to 33. So that's a pretty big jump. To get 4
right.
MPG, it's not
yeah.
easy.
You and with fall a lot of bed and
with
get
a,
that,
no,
right?
with a, and with a larger engine and a little bit more horsepower and a little bit more torque. A lot of things go into that. There's a lot of technology, you know, we can, you know, because we use both gasoline direct injection and multi-port injection on that one engine, depending on how the what the engine load and parameters it's working within, it'll switch back and forth and maximize.
Right. And a very high compression ratio.
Yeah, 13-1,
that
which is
you can accomplish by using that really elaborate fuel management. Right.
You can control all that what's going on. We're proud to have both, you know, two new engines in the car with a new transmission. Yeah.
So this car will come to market about December time frame.
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving might be a little soon. So maybe sometime in December, they'll start showing up in dealerships.
Right. Not priced yet, but competitively priced. Certainly.
Competitively priced. We understand, you know, the midsize market still is very competitive, and you've got an outgoing model priced where it is, so you can't be you can't deviate too much from the competition. So we'll keep it. I think we're known for value, but now we've got a lot more to offer, and we'll be right in the ballpark there.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to driving one, having driven one today. At length, looking forward to driving one in my home turf.
And understand how that works.
Giving a full report.
Yep.
So, Mike Evanoff, thanks so much for being with us.
No problem. My pleasure. Thank you.
And join us again next time right here on America on the Road. I'm Jack Neerad.